shine, little Uber, deliver, deliver, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. 4th of July edition, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's Lance and Lulu, and I am your host, Jill, and great to be here tonight.
Yeah, good evening out there.
Hi, everybody.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, happy 4th of July. This is a great holiday.
It's a fabulous holiday. It really is.
It really is. And this is how we started it all, but I just wanted to let everybody know that the end was what was really important, because we won. Yaha. We got it. It happened in 1781.
1781.
Yeah, in Yorktown, Virginia.
There we go. There's the start of it.
That's was the end
of it.
That was when Cornwallis surrendered to George Awash. He had to, but you know what? He was such a homie. He didn't even come with his sword. Okay, he sent somebody else. He said, oh, I'm too sick. I can't go surrender. That was Cornwallis.
Oh, that's wimpy when you can't surrender on
your
own.
Yeah, I know, on your own. So you send somebody
else.
Come on. And, oh, yeah, here, I can't go, but you could take my sword. Okay.
Sword in the stone.
No, that's what you had to do in the day. Back when you surrendered, you gave them your sword.
Right.
You know, that was
right.
The thing.
So, there was a little protocol to it.
Yeah. There was, but he couldn't muster. Cut the mustard. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the history lesson there.
You're so welcome. It's important. Today is a big day.
It's a big day. Yeah. And we have the freedom to garden and grow our own food.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Growing our own food. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. 527. More or less.
Yeah.
4-868-1866. KVNF now. Do you think anybody's listening?
No, everybody's. That's exactly it, right? Everybody's out there, you know.
At the barbecue.
Dipping off their lips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. We're here, and I know some soul will chime in.
Somebody out there.
Yeah. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Should we start with watering? Because it is hot and dry, and it's going to remain that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Watering all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
Keep up on it.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself get behind, right?
No, that's the thing. I turned my sprinklers on today, but I forgot Tuesday's an off day. So I'm going to go home and start rotating them through. But, you know, just keep up with it. And if you have pots, make sure you water to the bottom of the pot.
So like planted pots.
Planted pots. If you've got, you know, great big pots or... you know, hanging pots or whatever. Make sure the water's coming out the bottom before you give it up, because the soil in the bottom gets really hard. It gets really dry. The roots want to go down there. They can't. It's not a good thing. So keep them wet.
Yeah. And you're talking about the depth thing. The whole thing of sticking your fingers in there, right?
Yeah. You got to go more than a finger's worth now. You got to go. Yeah.
Well, you got screwdrivers, weed diggers. They can poke it down there.
My best weed digger is an old screwdriver.
Yeah, it works wonders.
A big one, one of those big giant ones. Mm-hmm. It's the bomb. I call it the king digger.
I can see that. Just right in there, right next to that root. And
you pop them out, baby. You get down there. You are down.
Driving it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so keep watering. Make sure you get down there and water deep.
Yeah.
And it's going to dry out fast.
Yeah.
And mulch. Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of mulching right now.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of mulching. I'm chopping and dropping as well. And so is Lance. You were talking about the valerian. Do you actually pull it out?
I cut it. I cut it down. It's all in the compost piles. You know, there are some things, but I plant so thickly that once the leaves are big, there is a living mulch.
Right.
Instead of actual hay or straw or leaves.
Right.
And
right.
The only reason why I stopped doing that, the main reason was 2 years ago, the voles were so bad, they ate 50% of my potatoes were gone. And they were eating all the shoulders of the carrots and the beets. And I just said, no, I'm not giving
them. Filthy rat.
And I had a wondrous thing happen, was the ermines moved in. I haven't seen any voles for 2 years.
Nice.
I didn't have to do anything. The ermines.
And luckily, you don't have any chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those ermines are hard on.
But the turkeys
hadn't
chickens. Been coming through, so the grasshoppers are coming through. And
see, that's exactly it. Yeah. You know, it's all a question of balance. You know, it's all just right now things are getting chopped on and munched on.
They are getting munched on.
Yeah, they are getting munched on.
Yeah. Hey, Charis from Horsefly Mesa is on the line. Good evening.
Good evening. Happy Interdependence.
Happy Independence Day to you.
Did you say interdependence? I love that.
Yes, I did say interdependence.
Good
nice.
Gosh.
I love you guys' show. I know that I'm not alone. And, I have a question about watering. My wife's mother is that you should water first thing in the morning. And that never made sense to me because, A, I'm a night, but B, it seems like they can hang out with the water a lot longer if you water in the evening. They have it all night, stuff like that. So is there some science in this question? Do you guys have any ideas, any preferences?
I'd rather water in the evening when it's cool and it gets a chance to soak in instead of evaporate.
Yeah.
And this is something I've mentioned in the past. Biodynamically, the earth is breathing in from 3 in the afternoon till 3 in the morning. The ground can soak up water.
Breathing in.
Right. The whole entire earth. It's breathing out from 3 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. So the morning time, even though it's nice and cool, and I water then too because I have so much to do, it's really not the optimum time. It's really the evening time, late afternoon into 9, 10, 11 o'clock, whatever you – if you're a night owl, what the heck?
What the heck?
Perfect. Yeah. Before 3 a.m., you're good. Huh?
Yeah.
No, and I totally concur. I think evening watering is the best. But I remember when there was a question about when to trim your trees, and Vince used to say, when you can. When's a good time
sometimes
to trim your trees? When you can.
Good,
so, you know, don't. You don't have to, like, freak out about your watering. And if you're your mom or your mother-in-law?
Yeah, my mother-in-law.
Well, if she likes to water in the morning, you let her water in the morning. And you just go right out there at night and do a little watering as well.
Yeah,
and there will be peace in the world and life will be good.
These are just guidelines.
That's right.
You just work with them.
That's
I won't harsh or mellow. And then the other question I have for you guys is I love that, by the way. I hear that in your show a lot, which is kind of do it, you know? Don't get paralyzed by, am I doing this right? But just get out there and do it. I love that. I think it's brilliant advice. And speaking of brilliant advice, is there a way to listen to, you know, backstory or whatever you call them? What do you call them? Archive?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's on kvnf.org, and it's archived there. All the shows are archived, little podcast type of thing.
I'm going to listen to everyone. You guys are great. Thank you.
Thank you, Charis. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Charis.
I know we've heard from him up before up there on Horsefly Mesa. I think he was growing asparagus or had something going on like that. So appreciate listening and
giving the call. Yeah, we appreciate all our listeners.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's fabulous.
And when you call in and you ask questions, don't ever, ever, ever think it's a dumb question. It's just a question that everybody else was too scared to ask because they thought it was going to be dumb.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Right? But that's not it. You know, just
throw it out there.
Throw it out there. Yeah. Be bold. Go for it.
Hey, do you know Harriet called last week and we were going to talk about transplanting irises? You want to talk about that? Because I think she's listening.
Idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Advice on transplanting irises.
Well, anytime after bloom, you cut the old stalks out. And, you know, technically, if you're cleaning out a iris bed, and I know people want to save all of them, throw 90% of them out.
Okay, what do you mean by that? Throw 90%
out? You know what? Yeah, see, right?
There's so many there that if you try to plant all of them, in another year or two, you're going to have to do the whole plot over again.
Right, unless you have an unlimited supply of space that you can put these irises in. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. So, Dee Dee, if you're listening, give us a call. Now, Dee Dee's dad was an iris grower.
Okay.
And she was telling me that, you know, you have that one big rooty thingy, and then you have the little, like, toes that come off.
Uh-huh.
It's those toes that are going to make the blooms.
For the next...
For the next years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you want those toes, and you you know, you lay them in the ground so that the toes are pointing in different directions, and then you get your full-fledged iris bed.
Yeah. Traditional was you do it in a tripod, each.
Yes.
And a triangle.
A triangle.
Each one is pointing in a different direction. So they don't grow into each other, but they grow out.
When you're planting them and transplanting them out.
So you have like that, if you think of the long rooty thing as the foot and then the toes, you put, you know, you put three little feet in a triangle and let them all grow out.
Yeah, you grow out that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have this big circle of irises, iris plants, this giant circle. And how am I going to start to dig into that? And what's the strategy
from the outside?
From the outside?
Yeah, and I used to think a spading fork really good, but no.
No.
Shovel.
Shovel. Oh, my gosh.
And I use my spading shovel. I would be useless completely without the spading shovel.
Yeah.
And or, you know, or it's called a poaching shovel also.
That long,
it's a
narrow one.
Long, narrow shovel.
A poaching shovel, which is actually for transplanting.
Yeah, what it was
designed for.
Right. And that, I use that much more than I use a contemporary shovel.
Yeah. But a shovel, because those roots are so fibrous, you have to cut them off.
Yeah. You got to get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you sharpen up your spading shovel or poaching shovel and you just go for it.
Okay, now that tool makes sense to me. Now I can see how that
would work. They're usually short-handled with a D handle on them.
Yep.
And they're probably, 2 feet long, the blade?
Oh, yeah. Mine.
At least, yeah. Right, and they're only 6 inches, slightly curved. Mm-hmm. And they're designed to dig like that. I use mine. What I used to use mine most for was not for when I was doing landscaping, putting sprinklers, we had to dig underneath sidewalks. It was great.
Oh, God. That's harsh.
Yeah. But you take the digging bar, pound in there, and then you take that spade.
That narrow shovel.
Right.
And
yeah,
get
that's
it out.
How I used it mostly. But I have one, and they're really nice to have around.
Yeah. Sounds like one of those essential tools.
It's one of those compulsories.
Yeah. Right. And you might not use it much, but when you use it, it's the perfect tool.
Right.
Yeah. If you're transplanting, like I have, this spring I wanted to transplant all my, not all, but a lot of my phlox out to my Rio Grande garden, and I wanted to get my daylilies out, and the water didn't go on, so I didn't get it done, but I'll do it this fall. I can't imagine using anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be fabulous.
Because it goes down so deep and you get the whole root kind of thing.
And it's straight and narrow.
And it's straight and narrow. And so you get a lot of leverage.
Uh-huh.
And you know?
You can get in between narrow plantings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. You can really slice stuff off.
Yeah.
You can just, you know, you can be so precise about how you dig and slice. And
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
Harriet.
I just want one last little thing on that.
Yeah.
You can transplant irises probably all the way into October.
Okay.
I wouldn't suggest it. I'd rather do it earlier so you get a root.
But
you they're extremely hardy.
Here's the thing. Okay, so here's what I do. I chop all the growth off.
Yeah.
You know, I chop all the growth offs. And then I go and I get them and I dig them out. And you know what? I transplant them and put them in when I'm good and ready to.
Yeah.
Oh, so you just maybe hold on to
what
you've dug out.
Put them in a basket.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They
right.
don't give a rat's patootie. They'll hang out forever.
Yeah. Do it
when
you can.
They're extremely hardy, like I said.
Yeah.
And so if you don't, we're just making suggestions now. But if you don't get to it till October, even November.
Yep, you're good. If you can still get that spade in the ground, you can still put that iris in the ground.
Yeah.
For sure.
Step one, get a poaching shovel.
Step one, I love that idea, too.
I do, too.
Shovel,
that's going to be my new toy.
I could just see, you know, back in the day, right? So it's probably an old English term, you know, the little gardener back in the day going out and poaching a few of the queens.
Exactly,
know,
from the royal properties.
Yeah, from the royal gardens.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly
back to
happened.
His little cottage, you know. Mm-hmm. You bet. But then everybody was happy anyway because everything looked good, you know.
It all worked.
Yeah, that benevolent monarchy kind of.
Yeah.
Process. Whatever.
Yeah.
Save us from ourselves.
527
4868
1-866 KVNF now. Okay, garlic has been coming on and kind of early.
Kind of early.
This year, and you have some advice for harvesting that.
Well, generally speaking, it's when the fourth leaf from the bottom dries out. That's a general thing. I'm sure there's other options.
Are you still watering?
garlic?
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Oh, no, I stopped 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago I stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still have one patch that I'm going to harvest this next weekend. That's some interleum, a soft neck.
Oh, yeah.
But the real advice is to be gentle with it. Don't throw these around. Don't throw them on thing. Or as you're picking them up and they're getting them in a cluster and they bang together, that's when the cloves get bruised.
Mm.
And, you know, in January and February or even December, those are the ones that rot.
Right.
Okay.
And the other thing is do not dry them in the sun. Dry them in a nice shady area with a lot of
ventilation.
Mm-hmm. Keep them covered. I have an old rabbit hutch. It's perfect.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Ventilated in the shade.
Yeah. And it keeps them dry and it keep them dry. Keep them. And when you're cleaning them after you've harvested them and you want to dry them out, don't be rough on them. Be gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be super gentle.
Kind of easy to think that you don't have to be gentle just because the bulbs are
so
hard.
Hardcore. And, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought about delicate bruising.
You know, potatoes and beets and carrots are all the same.
Yeah.
It seems like you can beat them up, but you really can't.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
No. It always used to bother me when you'd see the guys emptying the apple crates or the pear crates and just millions. Sad.
No. Yeah. So be gentle with those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, be gentle.
If you want long-term storage, you really got to be gentle.
Be gentle with garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Then what are you putting
in
the bed? Yeah, with everything. What are you putting in that bed?
Oh, well, it's already been edged again, tilled, and planted with pintos and watered.
So you got garlic out of that bed, and you're going to get pintos out of that same bed.
Out of that same bed. So let's see. I counted 9 rows of pintos, 37 feet long.
Ooh, baby, that's a lot of pinto beans.
I just wanted to see and that's a bean planted approximately.
9 rows, 37 feet.
Yeah.
Jesus God almighty.
And it's,
I'm such a rookie. I'm such an amateur.
I can't even imagine.
The space was there, so what
sure,
the heck?
Right?
So what
absolutely.
The heck? I get
pinto-y.
It. I mean, I totally get it.
And then they're planted about every 4 inches.
Right.
And this is a variety that I've been growing for years, and it was came from Maine, from Johnny's selected seed. So
somebody asked me about Johnny's the other day. Johnny's is a great
source. They do a lot of good stuff. Yeah. But this was from 20, 30 years ago I got these. And that's a short season.
Yeah, right.
And
Maine,
even though I'm planting them a month late, this is technically a month late.
Sure.
I will get a crop. This is the earliest because garlic is usually 2 weeks later.
Yeah, right.
So I'm actually planting these two weeks.
A little bit early.
So I'll actually have a pretty good crop this year.
Mm-hmm. What's Johnny's, a seed catalog?
Johnny's. And I think it's employee owned now.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it is. I'm not sure.
I'm not either, but it's great. And I've used their seeds in the past. They also have really cool varieties, stuff that's not totally normal. They have
And they tell you if it's organic, open-pollinated, hybrid.
Yeah.
It's one of the few catalogs that actually tells you what type of squash. Is it a Pepo? Is it a Maxima or a Machata?
Oh, uh-huh.
Or is it a Mixta, which is not the correct term anymore. They got a new name. Mixtas are the Kushas and those kind, which is hardly ever grown. It's in our...
I've got zucchini and yellow squash, and that's it.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Those
are Pepos.
That's, right, those are Pepos. And then I've got my pumpkins, my spaghetti squash.
That's a Pepo,
squash.
Too. That's a Pepo.
And my butternut.
And that's a Machata.
Machata.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the butternuts were the last to bloom or germinate.
Germinate. Because you had some pretty quick germination this year.
Yes. But I have to tell you this. I just made 2 chocolate zucchini cakes out of a King Kong Dong zucchini from last year.
Nice. From last year.
Yeah.
From last
year. It's amazing.
Year.
When those guys get big and old like that,
they store. Proof positive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They actually last a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chocolate zucchini cake.
Oh,
1 year later.
And you didn't bring any in.
You all can come over. I got plenty.
We do have some tasty nuggets here.
Carrots are here.
The carrots are here.
Yeah. I couldn't bring it in. It's got confectioner's sugar all
over.
And it would
That'd
be
a
Oh,
mess.
No. Yeah, Jeff would not like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. Jeff would be all... But we could bribe him with some, though. He'd be okay
He'd
with
be
that.
Drunk on chocolate zucchini cake.
He'd be reeling, let me tell you. It's good stuff. You get your kids to eat their vegetables that way.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a great and wonderful thing.
Hey, 527-486-8186, KVNF Now. You guys were talking before the show about getting ready to plant for fall.
Yes, I'm thinking that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
The end is coming.
It is.
Kohlrabi, middle of July for fall harvest. Round black Spanish, the end of July.
Oh, that Spanish round radish.
Black. Oh,
Spanish radish.
Those are so good.
The end of July.
If I had
beets, you could do the end of July, first week of August. So this is what I'm, the peas mm-hmm. are out. And I'm not going to plant anything there. But, the peas were so thick in there that the last time I weeded, I couldn't get in the middle. And that's where, and for some reason, that compost had a tremendous amount of clover seed. So it's all this clover. Not so bad. I'm going to take it out just to get a seed bed. But I got all this clover growing there. So, the poppies will be ready in 2 weeks. And that's what's right next to them. And,
perfect.
So I'll have that whole bed. And then there's the potato onions, and they'll be out in a week or two.
Ooh, yeah. Those are one of your specialties.
Yeah, and I'll take and plant the peas for fall where the
potato onions are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'll just reverse it.
Mm. Oh, okay, cool. Flip-flop.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been hacking and whacking, and then I stopped because everything looks so beautiful. I thought, well, I'll just leave it that way for 4th of July in case, I want to have a barbecue back there or whatever. But I've been putting all the lemon balm, the Melissa, which is just now going to seed, just now flowering. Mm-hmm. I've hacked and whacked a bunch of it away, and it's all getting mulched onto the peas because peas like the aromatic herbs.
Yeah. Now, where did you read that, or did you see?
I read it in Carrots. Love.
Oh, Companion Plantings.
Yeah, Companion.
Okay, I'm going to look that up and see.
Yeah.
Roses love garlic.
Yeah.
Carrots love tomatoes.
Yeah.
So
what's
you
her name?
Chop it down
Rosa.
And.
Yeah.
Put
yeah,
it on
and
your
then
piece.
I chop it up, and I've been mulching the peas with it, and I can't say that they're like, singing Alleluia or anything like that, but
they're breathing it in.
Yeah,
yeah, and the peas like a cool soil.
Yeah, they definitely like the cool soil, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's happy. The
nice.
Beans look terrible. Oh my god! But they'll snap. They'll bounce.
Uh-huh.
No bean beetles, so they're fine. They're just.
Trying to figure it out.
Oh, they're having attitude adjustment problems.
Well, just put your compost manure tea on it.
Once
or twice. You don't need to do it because they don't really need it. But if they're struggling. I put it on all my melons and cucumbers and winter squash.
Right.
And just once, just to get them going.
Right. My cucumbers just germinated too. These guys were planted with mycorrhizae and that soil mixture that I've discovered that I really like. So I think that it's just adapting. It's just an attitude adjustment thing. I think they're going to bounce.
Oh, yeah.
They certainly don't look like they're going to perish. They just don't look great, so.
Yeah.
I'll give them another week.
Yeah, we'll have the bean report next
week. Yeah, well, my pole beans are running.
Ah, yeah.
And then I planted this type of runner bean. It's not a scarlet runner. It's from the island of Crete. Cypriot is from the Mediterranean islands, and it's a tanned. It's just as big as the scarlet runner beans, but it's tanned and speckled, and it has a light peach color as the flower.
Oh, lovely!
And those are starting to run. And just for listeners out there, pole beans wrap counterclockwise. So if you want to help them climb up your trellis, do not wrap them clockwise.
Wrap them counterclockwise.
It's really funny, but they will undo themselves. And
they
will.
Oh, really?
They get really confused. They don't like it. It's the truth. That temperate yam is the same way.
Uh-huh.
If you don't wrap it counterclockwise, it gets
interesting.
It doesn't like it.
Yeah, but anyways, it's the funniest thing. It's counterclockwise, and that's the way it is. And
unless you're in New Zealand, and then it's clockwise.
Oh, boy.
True that.
That's the other side.
Yeah. Right.
The other
end of the world.
Yeah. If you're
where
in New Zealand, Australia,
happen opposite.
South America, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you can go down there and see a whole different sky. I mean, what up with that?
Right. I'm thinking I would love to go skiing. Wow. That's what I'm thinking.
Still can plant?
Still can plant. Yeah, did we do that?
No.
Kohlrabi?
No. We're talking still bush. We can still plant summer stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, summer stuff. Yeah. Warm weather stuff. Yeah.
Warm weather stuff. So I was thinking of, you can't get pole beans, but you can still get plenty of bush beans.
Bush beans.
And zucchini or any type of summer squash.
Mine are just, they're 2 weeks up.
I bet you if you had some bush cucumbers, the smaller, you could plant those because they're so quick. You know,
the smaller variety.
Yeah, smaller.
Yeah, well, my cucumbers just germinated, so they better get on it and get going.
Yeah, they will. And then we talked about basil.
Basil's a really good one from seed at this time.
Yeah.
Another good one from seed at this time is cilantro.
Yeah.
Because it'll come ready just as your tomatoes are coming ready. So if you want to make your salsas and all of that, you know, this is a good time to plant cilantro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. And you're hilling your potatoes. I know there's a lot of people out there growing potatoes.
Yeah, I've hilled mine. And again, I put them at 2 foot, the rows 2 foot spacings. I really need 2.5 to get the right amount. They're too close, so I can't really get the dirt around them like I want.
Right.
That's all.
When you mound them up, how high on the plant do you mound on the existing growth?
Maybe 6 inches.
Right.
Yeah. And I plant my potatoes. If you came to my place at Potato Plant, I dig a hole 3 to 4 inches deep, and it's that hole's there until the plants have come out of it. And that's the first hilling. So they're already 3 to 4 inches deep in the row, and then I'm hilling on top of that.
Oh, wow.
The seed itself.
The potato is at least down four to 5 inches.
Yeah, I can't imagine that you would do any less.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I leave it open. Get them to start growing, and as they're growing, when they're 4 or 5 inches tall, those with the original planting hole is filled up.
Okay.
And then I've filled it twice since.
Okay. So just start adding dirt back in.
Yeah, just from the rows. But gotcha. I think 30-inch spacing of the rows would be better than 2 feet. No, not what I would do, yeah, I've been two, doing yeah. 2 feet. Yeah, so yeah, 30 inches. 30 inches would be better. And I can have that space. And, you know, the reality is, I don't eat that many potatoes, so I'm going to cut back on the potato growing. That's just me, and I'm going to plant more grains, small grains, and dry beans.
Okay.
Now, do you do sweet potato ever?
No. No, you can. They need warm nights. Mm. And the only place that I've seen it successful in our area is Eckert. And how you would do that is in the fall, you take those sweet potatoes that you see in the shelves, and also what they call yams, because it's really a sweet potato.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's a whole other conversation. That's a whole other story.
But anyways, and you just leave them on your counter. Do not eat them, and they will eventually sprout.
And then you take the sprouts.
And you take a knife and cut that sprout off, and you put it in a 4-inch pot.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep on enlarging it as needed. And then come late May, early June, you would set those, and how you do that is you actually put the plant out of the pot right on top of the ground and throw the dirt up around it.
Right.
So you have this really soft, loose soil.
Loose soil, yeah.
Because wherever the leaves, the vines run, wherever the leaf goes up, there's a root that goes down.
Oh.
And that's the sweet potato.
Right.
And you need loose soil for that. You know, so if you're going to mulch them with black plastic, forget it. You're not going to get anything. You know, you got to have that loose soil.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's so clever.
Yeah.
It is clever. I didn't really understand it until you kind of explained it.
Right.
Like that.
And the temperate yam is going off.
Yeah.
Mine's crazy.
8 feet tall right now.
Wow.
How many?
Really?
8 feet tall.
That's all. And it got frozen.
But it got frozen.
Oh, that's right. Yours got frozen.
Yeah, mine got frozen.
Jeez. Mine's gone up one side. That's 9 feet. Cross. That's another
It's phenomenal.
Feet.
My word.
And then it's coming down the other side. It's got to be 9 and 4 or 13. It's got to be 18 feet.
Mm-hmm. Is that the giant yam you gave her?
That giant.
Whoa,
thing.
Baby. No kidding.
And it sprouted a new guy. It's got a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
Had a baby.
Right
all
on.
By itself.
All
yep.
by itself. Nice.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
All by itself is, we know, whatever. Anyway, there it is.
There she
and
be.
It's just really cool. And like you said, keep them wet.
Keep them wet.
Jesus. I have to just, run water on them all the time.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
And they'll have these small little blooms that, is it cinnamon or vanilla that they smell?
Vanilla, you said.
Ooh, yummy.
Yeah, that's what they smell like. And they're actually from Appalachia, is where they're actually from. And they
gorgeous.
And then they'll make these little boobles at the base of those things. And you can, those are actually seeds, and you can actually plant those.
Is that the same as like a violet, when the violet does those little?
No, lilies sometimes do it. The daylily.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
They had those black things.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. When I dig up those daylilies, does anybody want some? I'm going to have thousands.
Thousands, right?
Yeah.
Thousands.
No, I got my patch. I got the lemon lilies.
And what? Oh, you do?
The yellow ones. It's quite gorgeous because it's yellow.
Ooh.
Every morning it's new blooms.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Solid yellow.
Mm-hmm. Mine are the basic orange.
Orange, yeah.
Yeah, and they're so fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just,
and if
they
you got
just
a sort of
happy.
A weedy area that you want some color in it,
yeah, that's what this is.
That's what you plant. These daylilies will, you know, and in the
great
fall
idea.
You can mow the whole thing down.
You mow it down and you done.
Yeah.
That's exactly
okay,
right.
Okay, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, aren't the buds edible?
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
We have to look that one up.
We'll look that
it
up.
It is a lily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Might not be.
Yeah, okay.
So we have to check it out.
I'll check it out.
If you want some daylilies, you can email worm@kvnf.org.
Oh, man. Hmm? You know what? When I get to it, if I get to it, don't hold your breath. There could be a road trip. Anything could happen in between, but there's going to be
Cancun.
Thousands. Yeah, well, I got to go there, yeah.
Yeah.
But we do have time because we want that.
Yeah, there's lots.
Lots of time. We can dig them out and then plant them
That's
later.
Another thing. That's like the iris.
Yeah.
If you can still get the spade in the ground, you're good to go. Throw them in.
Yep.
It's all good.
All good. And that is going to wrap up our 4th of July edition. Firecracker hot. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back next Tuesday for another edition of As the Worm Turns. It's Lady Lou on One Woman's Perspective next on KVNF. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Happy Independence Day, everybody.
Yeah. Have a good evening. Yeah.
Celebrate your independence.
Be free.
Be free. Woo!
You're out to make a sign to, I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.